92.7 FM WMDX, Madison's real news and great conversation. Here's your daily news roundup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. A northern Wisconsin tribe is addressing growing concerns over immigration enforcement and tribal sovereignty. Maddie Schaefer reports.
The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa held a community forum Monday night after recent reports of immigration and customs enforcement activity on the reservation. According to the Wisconsin Examiner, tribal leaders have raised alarms after reports that Native Americans were picked up or questioned by ICE during enforcement operations in the Twin Cities. Tribal chairwoman Liz Arbuckle spoke about the stress the community is facing.
It's unnerving. We've seen Native people picked up in Minneapolis. We've heard those stories. We've seen those stories. So we are unnerved. So a little extra preparedness, thoughtfulness, kindness, it won't go amiss. That's for sure.
Leaders urged members to carry tribal enrollment ID along with a photo ID. Arbuckle says that tribal IDs are free for enrolled Bad River members and can be updated if needed. Other tribes may also offer similar services. They also highlighted statewide resources such as the Native American Rights Fund, the ACLU of Wisconsin, and Legal Action Wisconsin, which can help tribal members understand their rights and create personal safety plans. State Representative Angela Stroud of the 73rd Assembly District spoke about ICE activity across the region.
You know, it's targeting urban areas, but it's not limited to urban areas. Rural areas are also being affected. And so it's not that we know they're going to come, but we need to be prepared because it's happening throughout our region, even if it's focused on Minnesota right now.
Several tribes, including Bad River, Lacouturay, Oneida, and Ho-Chunk, are notifying members that agents cannot enter a home without a judicially signed warrant. Wisconsin tribes are issuing guidance on documenting encounters, accessing legal help, and creating personal safety plans. I'm Maddie Schaefer.
Democratic state lawmakers are proposing a constitutional amendment to solidify the right to privacy for Wisconsin residents. Lisa Hale reports.
If it's adopted, the amendment to the state constitution would shift the legal burden of proof in privacy violation cases from the individual to the government. Under that adjustment, government agencies would be responsible for justifying how it had the authority to violate an individual's privacy rights rather than the individual being required to prove that a government agency violated those privacy rights. Democratic state lawmakers have also introduced separate legislation that would allow residents to file a lawsuit over privacy violations in state court, regardless of whether the subject of that lawsuit is a state or federal government agency. That proposed bill is currently being reviewed in committee. Democratic state lawmakers are hoping the proposed constitutional amendment will gain bipartisan support. It must pass in both the state assembly and Senate in two consecutive sessions before it appears on a statewide ballot for voters to approve. Former Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan is asking a federal judge to grant her an acquittal or a new trial following her felony conviction. Dugan's defense team filed the request last week, claiming she acted within the law and that jurors received inconsistent guidance during deliberations. A jury convicted Dugan of felony obstruction in December for helping a man in her courtroom evade an immigration arrest. Jurors cleared her of a separate misdemeanor charge tied to concealing someone from discovery and arrest. Dugan resigned from the bench earlier this year as the case continues through post-trial motions. I'm Lisa Hale.
With the 2026 election less than a year away, fundraising efforts in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District race are kicking up. James Kelly reports.
According to campaign finance reports, incumbent Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden led 2025 in campaign fundraising with over $4.3 million. Rebecca Cook, pursuing a rematch of 2024 with Congressman Van Orden, raised over $4 million last year. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge will challenge Cook for the Democratic nomination in August and raised nearly $400,000 last year. While Congressman Van Orden led the total fundraising battle in 2025, Cook raised nearly double his fundraising total in last reporting period of the year. From October through December, Congressman Van Orden raised a little less than $670,000, while Cook brought in about $1.1 million. This is Cook's third run for the 3rd Congressional District after falling short in the Democratic primary in 2022 and narrowly losing to Congressman Van Orden in the 2024 election. Berge raised about $115,000 over that period. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to learn more about flood risks in their area and explore their flood insurance options in honor of Flood Insurance Awareness Week. According to a press release, Flood Insurance Awareness Week will run through Saturday, giving the agency a good opportunity to highlight the importance of getting flood insurance. The DNR is also sharing tips on when residents could qualify for federal flood insurance and what it means to own property in a federally designated flood zone or special flood hazard area. Agency officials say typical homeowner and renter insurance policies usually don't cover flood damage. Federal flood insurance is available for properties both inside and outside special flood hazard areas, but is only in communities that participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. The DNR's floodplain program tracks community enrollment in the National Flood Insurance Program. Residents who own property in a special flood hazard area and have a mortgage from a federally regulated lender are also required to have flood insurance. I'm James Kelly.
And I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit our website at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers sent a letter to Wisconsin's congressional delegation this week urging them to revise the new federal hemp law, which bans the sale of most hemp products in the United States starting in November of 2026. It was passed as part of the plan to reopen the federal government last year after the longest federal government shutdown in U.S. history. According to Evers, the new federal hemp law is projected to jeopardize $700 million in economic impact for the state and nearly 3,500 jobs in Wisconsin. The impacts of the new federal hemp bill will be further intensified in Wisconsin due to the fact that Wisconsin has not yet legalized medical or recreational marijuana. The growing of hemp has become a strong diversification option for Wisconsin farmers, and as of November 2025, Wisconsin had 470 federally licensed hemp producers. Meanwhile, a bill that would allow Wisconsin law enforcement agencies to conduct roadside drug tests is on Governor Tony Evers' desk for consideration. Civic Media's James Kelly reports.
If signed into law, the legislation would allow law enforcement authorities to conduct a saliva test while investigating potential operating while intoxicated violations. Like the use of a preliminary breath test during OWI investigations, the result at the scene could not be used as evidence, but would allow law enforcement authorities to require a blood test be taken to confirm or deny that result. The saliva test will be able to detect substances like marijuana, methamphetamines, and certain opiates. Because the test would not be admissible evidence in court, law enforcement authorities would also be required to dispose of the samples taken during their investigation. Governor Evers has previously expressed his intent to sign the bill into law, but it will still take some time for law enforcement authorities to train and test the new tool before it can be widely used. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
13 people could face criminal charges tied to the failed recall of Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss 2 years ago. Officials say those who tried to oust Voss allegedly listed fake addresses on petition forms, and others submitted signatures from people who didn't actually sign. But the state's Election Commission ruled that there's not enough proof that organizer Matt Snorick or the recall committee violated the law. The committee is recommending charges to the Racine County District Attorney's Office, which will decide whether to take the matter any further. One of the partisan races coming up in November 2026 is a repeat of the 2022 election. In 2022, Attorney General Josh Call narrowly defeated Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney. This year, Toney seeks to unseat the two-term incumbent again. The latest Marquette Law School poll finds that 10 months before the election, voters view both candidates favorably. Poll director Charles Franklin.
We love us some attorney general candidates. I exaggerate a little bit, but not hugely. Both Eric Toney and Josh Call have slightly net positive favorability ratings. Both of them have a plus +5.
Franklin says Call is the better known of the candidates, with 56% of poll respondents saying they had no opinion of him. That's compared to 75% with no opinion of Toney. The most recent Marquette poll was conducted between February 11th and February 19th, with a margin of error of plus or minus 4.3. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs have announced $2 million in grant funding to bolster flood resilience across the state. Civic Media's James Kelly has the story.
According to a press release, the funding through the Pre-Disaster Flood Resilience Grant Program is meant to help communities identify and mitigate flood vulnerabilities with strategies like reconnecting streams and floodplains or reducing erosion hazards. Two types of grant funding were made available through the program, one for assessing vulnerabilities and one to implement the mitigation methods. The goal is to naturally manage flooding before disasters like in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties last August strike. The Oneida Nation received the largest funding award at $300,000 to create a culvert inventory and study water flow and hydraulic structure. The City of Madison, Ozaukee County, and City of Stevens Point also received significant funding awards of over $200,000. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
How much will it cost to see the Packers play? Civic Media's Connie Feldman has that answer.
The price to see the Packers play has gone up for this season. The team announced the new pricing on Friday. Depending on where you sit in the bowl, you'll be paying between $4 and $22 more per ticket. Packers president and CEO Ed Policy said the ticket prices for a game at Lambeau are around the middle of the NFL's pricing range. With the new increases, face value prices for regular season tickets are between $143 and $196. Preseason tickets are cheaper, but tickets sold through a third-party ticket broker can be substantially higher. Packers fans don't seem to be priced out, though, with more than 155,000 people on the waiting list to buy Packers season tickets. Most wait decades for their chance to buy that 18 inches of pure aluminum pleasure. I'm Connie Feldman for Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. For news anytime, visit our website at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks slump continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks lose to the Atlanta Hawks in Milwaukee, the final 131-113. The Bucks have now lost four in a row by a combined 97 points. What's next? Doc Rivers.
We may have to play different guys. We may have to go bigger because right now we're giving up too many points, too easy. We've changed schemes five different times. The change may be going bigger and maybe taking more offense off the floor.
College hoops. The Wisconsin Badgers cruised past the Maryland Terrapins 78-45 at the Kohl Center, but concern for Badgers' Nolan Winters, who headed to the locker room with an ankle injury. Braden Carrington, 18 points, including four three-pointers. Marquette with a win at Providence, 78-56. The Golden Eagles now 11-19. UWMC season comes to an end. They lose at Detroit Mercy, 84-63, in the first round of the Horizon League. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Scattered showers, maybe a little patchy fog right away this morning, then mostly cloudy here through the day. Today, our high in the upper 40s to near 50 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with some rain late. Our low 39 tomorrow. Rain scattered thunderstorms with a high of 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
That's your Madison News Roundup from WMDX. Find more news anytime at WMDXradio.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts.